Thank you, Pastor. One of the little ones talked to me today. He says, "Brother Ross, how old are you?" While we're in the back there eating Brother Chim's Pascani? Super Sasani, whatever it is. And I looked at him, I go, "How old do I said, well, first I said, "How old's your dad?" "Yeah, my dad's about 38. I said, "Do I look older than your dad?" He says, "Yes, you have wrinkles right there." I'm thinking, oh my soul. I said, "How old do I look, buddy?" "I'm 52. I'm thinking, oh my soul. No, you look 60, Brother Tong D. So anyhow, I guess we age. Yeah. There was a while I thought I was still in my 20s, but that has long gone. You know, as you get older, you go play basketball and you think that you still can do what you used to do, and you're trying to cross people over. The only thing that's crossing are your legs, and you trip and fall. Thank the Lord, I'm not there yet. Pastor's there, but I'm not there yet. So Pastor's young. You're a young man for being a little bit older than me, so praise the Lord for that. Let's pray together. If you have your Bibles there, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. And let's pray. Father, we pray you bless these next couple 30 minutes, minutes we have together, Lord. Help us, Father, as we get into your word to be different. Help us to get something from your word and be changed. Help us to be a light in this dark world. And help us, Father, to continue to spread the gospel till you come. And help us to be bold. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, I've had the privilege of being in one church here for a good amount of my teenage year. I've been here for, I want to say, I started coming to our church here at about 15. I am 44 right now, so 15, 44, I want to say that's 29 years. Am I wrong about Pastor, who's a math major here? I think that's right. And I have loved every minute of being in our church. I love California, and I don't love our politics. I love the weather, I love our people, and I love our church. But being here, and Pastor started letting me teach Sunday school and being a part of our church with working with teenagers. And I taught a teenage class when I was a teenager. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I taught the guys that just graduated from high school, I taught that class for one summer. And my whole goal was to get the guys that just graduate with me into Bible college. And just to get that transition from a senior into a college again. And I remember that summer, we tried to do that, and I went to Bible college, and I came back on the weekends, and then I came back every day because I didn't like the weather out that way, and there was no jobs, just a bad place to live when I went to college. And I remember that the summer, or the right before the summer of my freshman in college year. No, it was my freshman year in college. Pastor asked me, he said, "Hey, I want you to intern and be our junior high youth director." I said, "What in the world, junior high youth director? I'm just, you know, I still don't have any facial hair." I never wore jeans and I never wore a t-shirt. I wore a button-up shirt every time, anything with a collar and khakis and I just did not wear those because I wanted to look. I remember there was a point where I had glasses. I want to look older. You said, "Why are you telling that?" So I've been here for quite some time growing up here. And I've seen the teenagers and the adults that have grown up and maybe have come that live the abundant life. You know, a lot of times you think, man, why do we yell and scream and why are we so just passionate about Jesus Christ? Why does Pastor, when he preaches, he gets so upset at sin and he speaks so well about serving God? Because if you've been in the ministry for a long time or you've been faithful to the Lord, you've seen the two lifestyles. And I tell our teenagers all the time, I said, man, I want you to experience what I experienced as a teenager. When I was a teenager, I was not perfect. But I loved God, and I wanted to go the direction God wanted for my life. And I sought and I planted my feet. I said, what is it that God wants me to do? How can I get there as a young person? I didn't wait until all my friends. I remember, Pastor, we just graduated from high school. And there was a Cambodian Association thing that they did a kind of a recognition for the Cambodians that graduated from high school at Long Beach City College. I don't know if you remember that, Pastor. And there were, it was me and two other graduates from our school. One that just went to a boys' home. If you, I say his name, Pastor, you wouldn't know him. And he had graduated at that boys' home, and he came here to our church. And there was people from Wilson High School, and there was people from Jordan, and there was just all Khmer people. There was students from graduates from whatever high school there was around here. There was a bunch of them. And I remember we all had to go up. And Brother Raw, they asked us where we graduated from, where we're going to go to school, and what are we planning to do. I remember waiting in line. Everybody, I mean, Pastor, they would come, you know, I graduated from Poly High School. I'm going to Cal State Long Beach, and I'm going to be a doctor. I'm from Jordan High School. I graduated from Long Beach, Jordan. I'm going to Long Beach City, and I'm going to go into nursing and transfer to some university and get there. I remember on it, and there was a guy from our church. Didn't graduate from our school. He went to a boys' home. Good guy. It was Pacific, actually at that time it's called Cambodian Christian School. And he came up, and you know, everybody that was going to be a doctor, lawyer, engineer, people clapped their hands. I'm right there. I come up and I say, my name is Nathan Ross. I graduate from Cambodian Christian School. I'm going to go to Bible college, and I'm going to be a preacher so I can come back to my country, my city to help the people in this community. Bing. And there was no clap or anything. And I guess I was dumb. I was stupid to say that, but I didn't know anything. I just wanted to serve God with my life. And I see people that try to serve God with their life, and people right now that are successful, if you will, in God's eyes. And I see the people that had graduated from our school and people that didn't come to our school, they come to our church. And man, you see the Brother Tongdees, he had just graduated when he came. And you see the Sarah Vongs, and you see the Adrians. I talked to Brother Adrian this past week. And then I see a lot of other people. 29 years I've been here. That sin has taken a toll on their life and on their family. They're my age or a little bit younger than me, and they're on their second, and some of them third wife. And some of them are married. And when you get in life, what happens? You fall in love and you get married, and then you have children. But culture today is a lot different, where instead of "this is my wife," they say "this is baby mama, this is baby daddy." Let me say this, young people. This is my wife, or this is my husband. Do it right. And I see people, and I go to sometimes, just about every time I go to the Cambodian community, and I go shopping, or I go eat a bowl of noodles, or I do something, I see. And some of them come and say, "Hey, Brother Nate, how you doing?" I was like, "Man, how you doing?" My kids, every time we go, how come a lot of people know you? I said, "Man, I've been here for a long time. We've been in one church, grew up here. People know us." And I see the hurt. The other day, I went to go take my bike to get fixed over here on Redondo and Anaheim, right there by the Chinese fast food right there that's pretty popular. And I was taking my bike out, and somebody was like, "Hey, Brother Nate! Oh, good night in the world." And I looked, I go, "Hey, man, what's going on?" I said, "Man, how you doing, Brother Nate?" I said, "I'm doing good, doing well." I said, "Man, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you for a long time." I said, "How are you doing?" He stopped. There was a red light. He said, I got to get back in church. Not too good. Not too good, Brother Nate. I said, man, anytime you're ready, the church is right there. And you know, these people that grew up, I mean, same church, same school, and some of them, you know, same teaching. But what is it that led to different directions? I can think of people in our church, good families, and one brother serving the Lord and the other sibling that grew up in the same place, and two way different directions. What is it? What is it in their life that one person chooses right and one person, if you will, chooses wrong? Basically, that's what it is, a choice. We have three enemies in this world. We war against, that war against our life. We have the world, we have the flesh, and we have the devil. Because our flesh is weak, we need Christ's help every day and in every area of our life. Our flesh is prone to wander. The song says, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And our flesh is prone to wander and do wrong. And though we don't see it, every day we don't see it, there is, with our own eyes, there is a spiritual warfare and there is a spiritual battle going on right now. You got that verse there, Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 12, the Bible says, for we wrestle. And the fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a spiritual world. There is an unseen world. There is a devil. You say, oh, do you believe in ghosts? I don't believe in ghosts, but I do believe in demons. Because there is a devil. There is a spiritual realm. I'm not much into believing in ghosts and stuff like that. I remember as a teenager, one of the families went out on vacation. And, Brother Rith and I, Brother Rith, they asked him, he used to be a member of our church, asked him to sit a house. And it was on a Saturday night. He said, hey, Nate, can you come stay with me? I just don't want to stay in this house. It's kind of creepy. So I decided, sure, I'll go. Now remember there on Gladys and Anaheim, the house right there, on Gladys' apartment. Before I went to sleep, Pastor Rith told me the story about Grandma. I'm sitting there, I go, go ahead, tell me the story of Grandma. You know, I wasn't scared of ghosts or anything. Tell me anything you want. You know, I just thought, what, ha-ha. Okay, it wasn't ha-ha that night. I'm sitting there, and he's telling me a story, and we're sleeping in the living room. You go in, the living room's right here. The living room's right here. The kitchen is here. Or the dining room, the kitchen's in the back. And then you have a wall here, and the wall has Grandma's picture. Right by that wall, there is a door that goes into the garage. In the garage, they didn't put cars. They put sewing machines. That's what people, Cambodian people, did back then to make money. They sewed, work under the for cash money. So it's right there. And I'm sitting there, he's telling me a story. He said, yeah, my mom told, he said, I called you to come stay with me because I just didn't want to stay at this house alone. I said, okay, whatever. He said, see that picture, Grandma? I said, yeah. My mom was in the garage sewing. And the car was there. And all of a sudden, Grandma was in the passenger seat looking at my mom, smiling. I'm thinking, man, Grandma right there? He said, Grandma right there. I don't know what I ate, but that night I could not sleep. I know, it wasn't pho. I mean, I had a stomach ache, and that night I slept. I could not sleep. I felt demonic oppression, all I'm thinking about. And I opened my eyes, all I see is Grandma. Her picture. All I see is Grandma. Now, I'm not telling you this to freak you out or anything. It might have been my imagination. I don't know. It's just me and him. Maybe he played a prank on me. I don't think so because I could see him. He was sleeping. We're sleeping on the couch. There was two couches. He slept on one side and I slept on the other side. I had my eye on him because I wanted to make sure, you know, I wasn't going to get, you know, he wasn't the demon or anything like that. 16 years old. I just couldn't sleep. I remember I just went to sleep and I would wake up screaming and, you know, casting out the demon in my dreams. In the name of Jesus. Again, it might have been the Hulk burger I ate or, you know, the Durang that I ate. I don't know what it was. But about 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, I'm just laying there cannot sleep, back and, you know, sleep for a couple minutes, wake up, just nightmares. About 3 o'clock in the morning, in the kitchen, I heard, now it was just me and him at that house. I laid there, I kicked him. Rith. He said, what, man, I'm trying to sleep. At least somebody slept that night. I said, there's a noise. He said, I hear it, go check it out. I said, I ain't getting out off this couch, man. He said, you go check it out. I told him, you go check it out. You know, he said some choice words to me, a little wimp or something like that. He didn't cuss, I'm pretty sure he didn't cuss. Got the blanket, went out. Noise is gone, he comes back. I said, so what was it? He said, why are you going to turn on the water and then run back to bed and not turn it off? Hot, steaming water. I said, man, you wouldn't pay me enough money to get off this couch. He said, I've been here all night. He said, somebody turned on, it was just me and him. It wasn't those kind of water thing. It was the old-fashioned house water where you have to actually, you know, turn the faucet. It wasn't, you know, now my mother-in-law, she had at her house, just and water cut. It wasn't like that. The water just turned on by hot water, 3 o'clock in the morning. Sunday morning, I was a wreck. I mean, didn't sleep. Had a bus ministry and everything like that. You say, oh, that was just a crazy dream. I saw what I saw, and I heard what I heard, and it was just me and him. Say, well, that was ghosts. No, it's the demonic presence. There is an unseen world. Satan is real. He's not a force. He's not a figment of our imagination. He is real. Satan's not a guy you see on TV and on Twilight Zone that has a red suit and a pitchfork and horns and smells like smoke and comes with you, comes at you and tries to deceive you. That's not him. Satan is real. Satan's out to destroy your life. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be sober. It'll be alert. Be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan's out to get you and to destroy your life. He's out to destroy your marriage. He's out to destroy your home. He's out to destroy your future. Teenagers, he's out to destroy your life. Dating couples, he's out to destroy you. He wants you to compromise and do things that you're not supposed to do until marriage. Teenagers, he wants to destroy your life. And he wants you to lead you out of the way where you don't listen to your parents and you don't do God's will and you do your own will. God, you know what? Teenagers, Satan doesn't care if you go and do drugs or anything. As long as you don't do God's will, he's successful. And that's why, young people, you better get wise counsel. You better pray about God's will in your life. Oh, just my friends are doing it. Really? You are going to put your future and God's will, your entire destiny, to because my friends are doing it. Let me say this. It's okay to be a cop. Not so popular right now. But just because everybody's a cop doesn't mean you have to be a cop. Let me get a nursing real fast. Do it if that's what God wants you to do. But just because everybody and their daddy's doing it doesn't mean, well, I just want to do it. You know what? I know people that came to our church that have degrees more than I can ever think of. Instead of using that degree, they're coffee makers. And you go to school and you pay all that money and you study. And you sell life insurance. Say, why? Because those young people were chasing something, and they're chasing something. Instead of chasing God, they chase something. Satan's out to destroy you. Because Satan's real, and that foe is real. What does the Bible tell us? James chapter 4 and verse 7, you can jot that down. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee. You know what the problem with a lot of people are? They don't submit themselves to God. Submitting is saying, I am under the authority that you have called me to be under. He hates you, Satan does, and he wants to ruin your life. He'll try to do anything and everything possible to destroy your life, young people. And let me say this, parents. Parents, You better pray and ask God and lead your children. You're there as a leader, parents. Lead them. You know, mom, dad, what are you? Yeah. You say, what do you do? Get in tune with God, parents. I say this all the time. More people spend more money and more time training their pets than they do their parents, their children. Sad. We have a great battle that we face daily. I mean, you look at this world today. It seems like it's falling apart. I've never in my history, living in America here, I came when I was a couple years old, I've never seen our country like what my children are seeing. I mean, civil unrest, divide, media craziness, this cancel culture and being politically correct. And you can't say anything. If you say something, and the freedom of speech is gone. Violence and pandemic. I mean, man. I believe these are the last days. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times, dangerous times shall come. The Bible says, for the men shall be lovers of their own selves. And listen to these words, as God's word as I read it here, and think about the culture today. They're lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. I mean, when a news anchor, who gave the news anchor a doctrinal, what is it, his name? I forget his name, Don Lemon. Oh, God wasn't perfect. He's going to see how perfect God is when he's burning in the lake of fire one day. Unless he gets saved, that's where he's going to be. Also know that the last days, perilous times should come, men shall be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Boy, I live in a great country. I thank God for our country. Amen. We might not have the where it should be, but I'd rather be here than be in where I was born in Cambodia. I love America. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, fierce, despisers of God, of those that are good, traitors, heady. It's intoxicating, that word heady there. High-minded, lovers of pleasure. More than lovers of God. Look what it says here, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You see TV preachers and these quote-unquote Christians and quote-unquote pastors. They're cowards and lame. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. I mean, what in the world? All these politicians quoting scriptures now. It's not just good to quote it and to memorize it and even to know it, but to apply it and live it. Having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. The Bible says, for such turn away. In verse 7 says, these people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Always want to learn, but they never get saved. Although craziness as it seems, our greatest battle, how it is today, our greatest battle is not against our culture. Our greatest battle is not against the media and politicians or whatever you might say. Our greatest battle is against Satan. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against Satan. You must realize how much Satan hates you and wants to destroy your life. In John 10:10, the Bible says the thief, talking about Satan, comes not to, but to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's out to destroy you. How does Satan do that? Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. How does Satan plan to destroy us? Let's go this way here. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Here's what the Bible says. Neither give, what's that next word there, class? Place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. The word place here comes from the Greek word meaning a plot of ground. Just a little spot. Just a little speck. Just a little space. By the way, the meaning that, this, we are not to give any tiny part of our life or a heart or any part of our life to Satan. Not one speck, tittle, nothing. He knows he can destroy. He knows he can't destroy you overnight. He knows that he's not going to destroy us by putting a married man, some beautiful lady just right there all of a sudden, and you fall. No, no, he knows that's not going to happen. He knows if you put some cocaine or drugs in front of you, you're not going to snort or smoke or ingest or whatever, however those people do it. But he knows that. But he knows this. If I could take a little bit, if I could just take a little bit of your life, that's all I need. Just a little bit. He's satisfied with just a small piece of your life, one area of your life that you're just not willing to give to the Lord. By the way, class, church, people online, what is it in your life that you have? And you say, I don't know. I don't know about if I can give that to God. Yeah. It might be your finances. It might be your time. It might be your dress. It might be your music. It might be your leisure time. I love fishing. I love fishing. If I didn't come to church here in our church, if I did not, if I was not a Christian, if I every weekend I'll be out. Friday after work, out of here. Overlanding, sea-doing, camping, fishing. I mean, surfing, you name it, I'll do it. I love that extreme life. I love it. I love doing that. And that's my weakness. What is Satan taking a little part of your life in? By the way, he's going to take that little piece. All he needs is just a little bit. You know what? I'm just going to take a little bit. As long as you give me a little bit, that's fine. And before you know it, little by little, he's taking a little bit more. And a little bit more. And the more we compromise in our life, church, the easier it is to go further and further down the road. You remember that time you got saved? You remember that time where you sat there, and you're not supposed to go somewhere, you're somewhere you're not supposed to be, or you're around somebody that you're not supposed to be around, the Holy Spirit pricks your heart and says, man, I shouldn't be, I shouldn't listen to this. But the more you do it, the more ground you give to Satan. The easier it is. Because he doesn't need a lot. Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Is it pride? Is it fear? Is it carnality? What is it? Bitterness is eating up so many people. And I just can't forgive this person. I can't forgive my dad, or I can't forgive my mom, or I can't forgive this person that hurt me. And that bitterness turns, that anger and that bitterness turns into destroying your life, is eating you alive. By the way, bitterness doesn't hurt the people you're bitter at. It hurts you. While these areas seem small, Satan will use it and start gaining control in your life. You see, New York, big skyscrapers. I've been to the Sears Tower. Once upon a time, it was the largest building or tallest building in the world. I don't think that is the case now. And I remember going with our church, and I got on that elevator, and all of a sudden, boom, psh, it gets you up to, what is it, 110th floor, Pastor, is that right? Somewhere like that. I mean, you're there in a jiffy minute, fast. And they have like some kind of exploratory area where it's all glass all the way around. And I'm scared of heights, Batondi. And I go up there, and everybody, you know, like, they go out looking at things. I'm like this by the wall. I can see you're quite fine from here. You get your knees start shaking a little bit. You get that, you get the butterflies inside yourself. I'm right there. Oh, bless God. I'm like, no. I love the ground. I love I love it here. I'm good. But you see these humongous, very high skyscrapers going up, very tall. You know the ground they're in? They don't need a big plot of land to go high. You say, what do? Instead of going big, they go deep. And Satan does not need a lot of ground this way. He's going to dig in your life this way. Deeper and deeper and deeper. Giving over a small area to Satan takes time. First, it's difficult, yet the more often we sin, the easier it gets. 1,700 pastors and resign every month. That's Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, other denominations there. Many are forced to resign because they committed some type of moral sin. How's that possible? How's that possible where a priest is supposed to be, you know, father, dressed like a mother, and doesn't have any kids? How is it that a pastor that I've known, some of my heroes that I've preached, and I'm like, man, and now they're in prison for a long time because of sexual sin? How is it that these holy people, these people that allegedly are supposed to be close to God, how does that happen? I believe this, somewhere down the line, they gave Satan a small area of ground in their life. And if it could happen to them, for sure it can happen to us. A husband that commits adultery on his wife, a wife that commits adultery on her husband, how is that possible? To death do us part. You know what? Somehow, down the line, they gave a little bit of ground, a small area of their life over to Satan. I remember when I was in Bible college, Brother Tony, if I said the name, he went to the same Bible college as you and I did. And I remember 4th of July, he was a vet, and he was, you know, talking about how great it was to serve America and everything like that, or being an American, being a Christian in America. How's it possible by the second semester, some of the college students saw him stumbling out of a bar drunk? Got kicked out of college. How's that possible? Somewhere down the line, he gave Satan a small area of ground in his life. Don't ever surrender any ground to Satan where he can create a stronghold in your life. The guy, his name is David Bergerwitz, was a faithful man in a church. He was involved in a local Baptist church, and he got involved in the bus ministry. Matter of fact, he did so well in the bus ministry, the pastor gave him one bus. One bus he filled, and the pastor gave him another bus, and the other bus he filled, and the pastor gave him three buses, filled all three. He was gone for a while. People didn't see him. Found out he joined a cult, satanic cult. That guy started hearing demonic voices. The demonic voices, he claims, started telling him to kill people. And in the 1970s, he became a serial killer known as the Son of Sam. Faced 6 life sentences. How's that possible? Somewhere down the line, they gave Satan a small area of ground in their life. And don't lose hope, Christian. If that's you, if you haven't given ground to Satan yet, don't. Amen. But if you have, many men in the Bible have, and they bounce back. Think of Abraham, lied about Sarah being his sister, referred to him as a friend of God, the Bible refers to him. David, an adulterer, a murderer. God refers to him as a man after God's own heart. You think of Peter, Pastor spoke about Peter, cussed and denied God. And yet, days later, preached a great revival in Pentecost. So how do you have victory over Satan? What do you do if you give it the crowd? Number one, simply confess it. You know, the first step is to realize I messed up. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instead of harboring it and letting it dwell in us, confess it. Jacob, in the book of Genesis chapter 32, he's out there alone and all of a sudden, an angel came, and we see the angel is the Lord. And he wrestles with that angel. And as he's holding him, he says, hey, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. And he's struggling. And you know what the Lord asked him? Hey, buddy, what's your name? God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He knew his name was Jacob. But he didn't want a name. See, you have to understand what Jacob meant. Jacob means deceiver. It means a hill catcher. It means a guy that's just rotten and two-timing, if you will. He didn't say, what is your name? As far as his physical, what does he identify as? Most likely a male. But he said, what is thy name? Because he wanted him to say and confess, I'm no good. I got problems. I deceived my dad. I deceived people. I'm a lying, deceiving person. Hey, church, you got a problem? We're giving Satan ground? Just confess it. Say, oh, man, tonight, Lord, I've sinned. I've been doing this. Help me. And then number two, not confess it, but forsake it. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesses and forsake them shall have mercy. I worked in a boys' home with Pastor. Hated every moment of it. Pastor Esposito, we had a boys' home here, and he said, why don't you help? When he closed down that thing, he came to me. He said, Nate, we're going to close down the cave. I was like, yes. He said, you didn't like it? I said, no. I hated every minute of working in that place. Those boys were a waste of my time. I mean, man, I'm helping them. I'm just helping them. I go lay on one of their bed. It says, blank you, Nathan Ross. That's how much they love me. And I confront them. Hey, you write this? No shame. Why would I do it? No, I love it. Yeah, I did that. Praise God. You're honest. But some of these guys with their mouth say, oh, man, you know, we have prayer meeting, God forgive us our sins. But they would go out and do the same thing. Over, like a dog, back to his vomit. Flee from sin. Don't embrace or tolerate it. Run from it. And by the way, let me say this. Run from anything that slows you down from serving God. Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Something that slows you down. Brother Tony used to be a runner. Cross country? Yeah, I've seen pictures. I've never seen videos. They didn't have it back in those days. But pictures. I mean, I didn't know guys wore short shorts like that before. And not only were they short shorts, Brother Tony, you had a slit on the side too with that short. Like, whoa. No shirt. All he had was a number on there. I mean, all you saw, it looked like a chicken chest. It was nothing there. And I was like, wow. That you used to have a six-pack, right? Now you have a three-roll. But the Bible says here, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset us. Get rid of it. Lay it aside. There's a pastor that preached one time. He said, hey, burn your plow. He said, what's a plow? I guess the guy was a farmer and he had a plow. He said, God didn't want him to farm anymore. He burnt that thing. Instead of saving it for a rainy day, get rid of it. Forsake it. And then lastly, I'm out of time, is yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. The word yield means to let somebody go forward before you. When you, some of you are about to get your license, you know, when you come to a yield, that doesn't mean you go. They yield to you. That means you yield to them. You let them go first. James chapter 4 and verse 7. You can turn there, James 4, verse 7. James 4, 7. The Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, to God. The word submit means to be under authority, to be under. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. And here it is. He will flee. So number one, you got to submit yourself to God and say, God, I'm under whatever the authority that you've given me. I'll be under that. And then you resist, submit yourself to God, and then you resist the devil. Resisting means to denying. In basketball, we had three positions in basketball defensively. Steven, you remember the three positions in basketball? You don't? Ryan, you remember, right? You remember. So you got ball. You got ball, you got help, and what's the other one, Ryan? Deny. Sometimes it's a little bit annoying. Help! I got your back. You say, ball, I'm telling my players, I said, that's where the ball is. I want you to know I'm on the ball. The ball's right here. And then you got the guy that's denying, usually one pass away. And you're denying him so he doesn't get the ball. Now, if the guy's a superstar, like when I used to play, no, I'm kidding. I mean, you deny him all the time. Like white on rice, that's probably not proper now. Like rice is Asian. I guess I'm okay. I'm Asian. White on rice. I mean, denying. You know what we need to do? Resist him. Deny him. Say, nope, the ball's not coming here. The ball's not coming here. I'm going to deny it. So what do? Yield to the Holy yield to God. Say, God, I'm going to yield to you. I'm going to let you have first place. I'm going to let you be the driver in my car. I'm just a passenger. I'm going to be a good second seat driver? Backseat driver. I'm going to be a good backseat driver. You're in control. You take me from point A to point B, I'm just going to enjoy the ride. Because God, you are the safest driver. You're the best driver that could take me from point A to point B. You know what you're doing. You know the direction. I'm just going to sit here and be a backseat driver and enjoy the air-conditioned ride. So we need to submit to God. We need to yield to God. But verse 8, look what it says here. Sometimes we stop at that. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to who? You. You say, what are you talking about? Yeah, submit yourself, resist the devil. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. Brother Savani, can I get you? Can I use you? Is that okay, sir? Yeah, come on, man. Usually that's what that means. I remember knocking on his door. You're in ninth grade?
Sixth grade.
Oh, you're sixth grade. Oh, my. So, yeah, sixth grade. Buna was in ninth grade. Eighth grade? One of those, man. Those, you guys are older now. Get that mic. Go all the way over there. See, we yield to God. We resist the devil. But here's where we fail sometimes. We don't draw an eye to God. The Bible says here, draw an eye to God. Now, I'm not an English major. Okay? And I don't claim to know American well. But it says, draw an eye to God. That means you, right? That means me. That's me. I'm drawing an eye to God. So whose move is it first before this next part of this sentence here, and he'll draw an eye to you? That would take me first. So brother Savani, you are Savani Haas. And I am God, just for fun. So I want you to say, Savani, Lord, I love you. I want to be close to you. Say it.
Lord, I love you. I want to be close to you.
And God is sitting here. He says, okay, you submit yourself to me. You resist Satan. Now you got to draw an eye. It's your move. Go ahead. Take one step. And God says, you know what? Draw an eye to me. I'm going to draw an eye to you. Say the same thing, Brother Savani, please.
I forgot.
Say, Lord, I love you. I wanna get close to you.
Lord, I love you. I want to get close to you.
Man, awesome. Your move, buddy. Takes one step, and guess what God does? He takes one step. Good. Keep going.
Lord, I love you. I want to get close to you.
Man, that's awesome. I appreciate that. Go ahead. It's your move. Draw an eye to God. He'll draw an eye to you. Go ahead.
Lord, I love you. I want to get close to you.
Your move. We're trying to social distance here. So God takes a move. You know that drawing nigh is not God's move. It's your move. Some of us, Lord, I'm going to give this up and I'm going to clean my life out. But we never draw nigh to God. We never get close to God. And the Bible says, Brother Joseph preached it, I want to say last week, add to your faith virtue. Virtue knowledge. You say, what's that verse coming to? Add those things in your life, because if you do, you're not going to forget that you were purged from your own sin. If you do not keep growing as a Christian, you're going to one day leave the faith. Thank you, Brother Swan. Church. How much ground have you given over to Satan? It doesn't have to be a lot. But the ground you're giving to him will fester and will rot and will be a disaster if you don't take that ground back that God should rightfully be the Lord's. I pray that we submit ourselves to God, we draw an eye to him, and don't give up ground to Satan. Let's pray.